Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So what about these active shooter drills? So many calls and questions about it yesterday, and I'm not really qualified to answer them, even though I have a talk show. Producer Elif found a psychologist who can answer some of these questions for us. It's Dr. Cliff Saper. He is the lead psychologist at Amita Health Behavioral Medicine Institute. He specializes in crisis response and child and family therapy. Doc, welcome to the show. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Thank you.
What's the best way for schools to prepare kids for active shooters in the school?
Well, I think being prepared with a plan if there's going to be a critical incident or an emergency is a good thing. It's important to have a plan, and research shows that just having a plan can be psychologically healthy and, in fact, reduce anxiety and panic. For example, we have instructions on how to exit a theater in an emergency and instructions on handling an emergency on a plane and fire drills in schools and hospitals. However, simulated active shooter drills in schools with loud gunshots and people jiggling door handles can be psychologically distressing to students, which leads to anxiety and overwhelming panic. And that even could trigger longer-lasting mental health issues.
Okay.
So it's really important that a school look at what plan are they going to use, and do you have to go to simulated active shooter demonstrations, or are there other less invasive, intrusive ways to help students and families and staff feel confident that they would know what to do if there was an active shooter?
Chicago Public Schools don't subject the kids to that, but some other schools in the state of Illinois do. Very realistic drills. Sometimes the kids are notified that it's a drill. Sometimes they're not, but they want the kids to be prepared where the situation realistic. But it's almost certainly not going to happen. And I think you've started to answer my question, Doctor. That is it possible the drill is almost going to assure that some harm is done? And is that worth the risk of it being an actual situation?
Yeah, I think that's actually the correct question. It is true that most children are fairly resilient and will bounce back after a critical incident. However, what about those children who have had past traumatic events in their lives, or who are emotionally fragile or sensitive, or who are so young that they actually don't have adequate defense mechanisms to deal with anxiety and panic? These children are going to be greatly affected, and they're going to be affected in the short term, but there could be long-lasting psychological or mental health effects.
I was, again, talking to the CPS off the air, and they said they do very realistic drills when the kids aren't there. I mean, the police have to know how to do it, how to, you know, go up and down the halls, open the doors, things like that. And maybe faculty or staff need to be involved, but let's do a dry run without the kids, and let's all know what we're getting into. Is there an age, though? Like, I wonder if toddlers, you know, if first graders are maybe able to forget this, or maybe they're most vulnerable. Maybe high school kids are able to process it, or maybe they're most vulnerable. Can you talk about the age of the students?
Yeah, I think we have to take into consideration the developmental level of a child. However, it's really important to know that even when we do drills at the hospital, there is an effect, and it's important that debriefings are done, because you, no matter how old the kid, they're going to be anxious, and some are going to, in fact, be panicked and not be able to function cognitively or behaviorally or emotionally. And so it's important that they have an opportunity or a safe place to debrief, to talk about those feelings of anxiety, for a staff member, a mental health professional, to be able to normalize that anxiety. Of course, you're going to feel anxious if you're in an emergency drill. And then to be able to give tips on self-care. What should you do now after this drill when you go home? How are you going to take care of yourself? How are you going to make sure you get enough sleep and you're eating and you're sticking to your routines? Also, how do you prepare parents for dealing with kids that are coming home anxious? And I think any age, from little kids all the way through high school, are going to be affected. And the more intrusive or invasive or frightening a simulated drill is going to be, is important to look at, because it's going to have more effect. I agree with you, though, too, that it's important for staff and police and the mental health professionals to know what to do with an active shooter, but you don't need to have the kids running in the halls. I grew up in the generation where we were hiding under desks thinking that an A-bomb was going to drop at any time, and that memory, that visual, sticks with me even to this day. So these kinds of simulated active shooter events do have long-lasting effects.
Dr. Cliff Safer is a psychologist over at Amida. He specializes in crisis response, can you tell, and child and family therapy. But what about that, Doc? I mean, so you went through that, and you've been able to lead a fruitful life. Yeah, it's there, but maybe, I'm just arguing the other side now, that while those kids won't forget that, they'll also be better prepared for that, too. You know what I mean?
I think a dramatic critical event where you're hearing perhaps gunshots or someone is trying to get in your locked classroom is definitely going to have an impact on you. Again, most people are fairly resilient. Most children are fairly resilient. However, those that are fragile think of our special ed kids, those kids are going to perhaps have more long-lasting effects and be affected by that kind of
I hadn't thought about that. When I've imagined this, I imagine it's, you know, kids who have all of their faculties, wits about them.
Yeah.
But, you know, a parent called in yesterday or the day before, and they said, hey, if they did something like this to my kid, traumatize them in the name of safety, mm-hmm. without me telling me and me opting to maybe have my kid miss that drill that day, I would be furious that you put my kid through that. Do you understand that? And maybe the schools have an obligation to tell the parents what's coming.
I absolutely agree. I think the National Association of School Social Workers, as well as the National Association of School Psychologists, all say that there have to be opt-out clauses that parents need to know, and that a family should have the right to opt out of those kinds of drills.
Yeah.
Rather than, because how could you know in a classroom what kid has got emotional issues going on at home or has been involved with adverse childhood experiences in the past that's going to really be shaken? And in fact, that's why I think debriefing groups and opportunities to talk about these feelings following even a drill is really important. We even found that in a hospital, in our hospital, when we did a drill, there were staff members that were really shaken up and needed to understand that being shaken up and to have anxiety is actually normal when an abnormal event like a simulated drill occurs. You need to be able to talk about that and then bring somebody back to self-care and how to move forward and go back to school or back to work the next day.
Dr. Cliff Safer, lead psychologist, Amida Health Behavioral Medicine Institute. And nice to hear your voice, Doc. I'll call you again. You know this stuff pretty well. We'll be in touch.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate your expertise.